Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Steve. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. We've already heard part of the scripture that we're going to look at this morning. Talk to you just a few minutes on the most unlikely story. And there are certain stories that are kind of predictable. The Hallmark movie stories come to mind. We watch them every year. We look forward to them. And the reality, though, is if you've seen one Hallmark movie, you've seen them all. And I could really pretty much tell it. I'll tell less than I say. All right, this is how this is going to happen. And then how do I know that? Because it is pretty much a very similar story. But there's something about that story that draws us. We keep watching them, even though we know how it's going to end. And every once in a while, I'll tell Leslie, because every once in a while, they'll throw a wrench in it. And I'm like, if this writer ruined this Hallmark movie, I'm going to be mad. If nobody told him how it's supposed to end, he's in trouble. Or she's in trouble, whoever wrote it. Because there's just this expectation, we know how it's supposed to end. Yeah, there's some kind of problem and there's going to be turmoil, but then they're going to get over it, they're going to fall in love and live happily ever after. That's how it's supposed to be. We all know that. But there are, so we know those stories, but there's some that are just so unbelievable. We could probably pick hundreds of different movies, things that you wonder, what is wrong with the person that wrote this movie to even be able to come up with this nonsense? And then we wonder what's wrong with us to pay $15 a person to go see it at the movie theater. But they're just unbelievable stories. But there is one true story that is very unlikely, and that's the Christmas story. So this month we're trying to unwrap the Christmas message and be reminded again that Christmas is not about presents, it's not about lights and parties, although those things are nice. We have to remember what the reason for the season is, and that's Jesus. It's the message that God loved us so much that he gave the world the greatest gift the world would ever, ever know, himself, by sending his son Jesus. And so we're going to hear the beginning of that story this morning again. So would you look with me in Luke chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. And therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' And then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now, if we were to write a story of the deliverance of mankind, we certainly would not put an unwed teenage mother as the star player, would we? And we certainly wouldn't set the story in a little town called Bethlehem. And yet, that's exactly where God put the story and who he put in the story. That's because God likes to confound us. God likes to, yeah, with people, it is unlikely and it is impossible. But as the angel reminds us, with God, there's nothing impossible. And that really is the message of Christmas, that with God, nothing's impossible. With God, there really is the opportunity to find peace. And that's what Christmas is about, that God made a way for us to have peace with him. And so today we want to look at and see about peace, and that's something that all, you know, are looking for. And as we look around our world, as we hear about world news, and as we see about the things going on locally, one thing that I think all of us hunger for and want to see is peace. And yet peace is something that has eluded the world for many, many, many years. Because we look for peace in all the wrong things. There's only one place where true peace can be found. We began to talk about him last week, the Prince of Peace, the one that God promised even hundreds of years before Luke chapter 1. God told his people that he would send a deliverer, a Messiah would come. And so a few things about this that we want to see this morning. The first is this, that peace is found in God's presence. It's not about gifts. It's not about presents. It's about presence. Our peace and the peace that comes from God comes because God is with us. And so as we hear the story, as we begin, you know, the angel shows up, gives this wonderful message. Rejoice, Mary! God has chosen you! That's a great message. It should be encouraging. Mary was not so encouraged, and she was not so enthralled with the message. In fact, she was afraid. And Luke says that she pondered in her heart what kind of crazy message this was. They didn't have Taco Bell back then, but whatever they had similar to Taco Bell, she probably said, that Taco Bell's doing a number on me. And he said, no, peace, Mary. Do not be afraid. For I bring you a good message, a message of great joy. So he's reminded that, listen, God has chosen you. And you will be called blessed among women. That doesn't mean that Mary has this special place and, you know, is elevated with the Trinity. That's certainly not what the angel is telling her. But what the angel is saying is God is going to use you, Mary, to accomplish a mighty, unbelievable thing. He says you are going to have the Savior. He said you are going to become pregnant. And that child that you are going to deliver will be the Savior of the world. So this answers that question, this song that we hear a lot at this time. Mary, did you know? Can I tell you, Mary knew. She did indeed realize. Why? Because the angel told her. Now, did she believe and understand? Nope, she didn't. Just like most of us. When we hear God's word, or, you know, God gives us direction, sometimes we don't understand it. We say, God, why are you know, I don't want to do that. You know, that's not God speaking. That's you know, some bad food or something. That's kind of crazy. And yet, there's no peace like knowing you're right where God wants you to be. Because when you're right where God wants you to be, that means God's got you in his hands. And if God has you in his hands, there's nothing that can take you out of his hands. Because he's God. And so the Christmas story reminds us of God's love, that he loved us so much that he was not content to be separated from us by sin any longer. And so he was going to finally make the way when the fullness of time had come, Jesus would be born in that little cave in Bethlehem. And yet, we'll jump ahead a little bit to the Christmas night story. Remember the angels that he spoke to, the shepherds that were out in the field tending their flocks. Peace! We bring you tidings of great joy, for unto you this day has been born a Savior. And they went and they found it just like the angels had said. And so remember, as we celebrate Christmas, that if we really want to have the peace that this season should bring us, we have to remember that it's about God's being in God's presence. It's remember that the holiday is not about presents and gifts and parties and lights, but rather about God and His great love for us and His desire to have a relationship with us and for us to be with Him. Together with God, that is what Christmas is about. And that's what makes it an unbelievable story, because we, all of us, are fallen. All of us are sinners. There's not one of us that deserves to be able to sit at God's table. And yet every single human being is invited to receive the great gift that Jesus brought that Christmas morning so many years ago. All we have to do is receive that gift. It's been bought. It's been paid for. All we have to do is unwrap it to receive it. And so peace is found in God's presence. But then secondly, I want us to see and be reminded that peace is strengthened in God's promises. The angel reminds Mary of a promise that, as a young Jewish girl, that she knew very well. She knew that God had promised in Isaiah chapter 7 that a young girl would have a child. And you remember that in Isaiah it says his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. She knew that. And so the angel said, don't you remember? God made that promise. God is going to fulfill it, and He's going to use you to do it. Now here's the thing about God's promises. Sometimes it takes years, sometimes even centuries, for those promises to come to pass. But one thing you can take to the bank about God's promises, they always eventually come to pass. That God is faithful to keep His promises. He's not forgetful. He's not slack, Peter tells us, in keeping His promises. But He's patient and reminded that God's timing is not our timing. Boy, we live in a microwave world where we want things, you know, in the push of a button, just right now, now, now. And yeah, so peace is strengthened in God's promises. So hundreds of years before Mary was even born, God had made a promise to Israel. It took a few centuries for that promise to come to pass. But it was about to come to pass. Another thing that the Old Testament tells us about the Messiah, about Jesus, was this promise that God gave to David, that a descendant of David would rule forever. Well, guess what? Who Jesus' dad was? We read about him. We don't know a whole lot about Mary. We don't know a whole lot about Joseph. But boy, they were important characters in the Christmas story. But Joseph was of the lineage of David, and that's why they ended up in Bethlehem for the census and to be taxed. That came to pass. So a reminder in that last verse that we read, that in verse 33 says, of His kingdom there will be no end. And Mary says, all right, I may be a teenager, and teenagers back then were probably a lot like teenagers now. They think they know everything. But Mary said this to the angel. She said, listen, I know how stuff works, and I'm not married yet, so how am I supposed to have a baby? He says, God will come. The Holy Spirit will come. And you will conceive a child from the Most High. Did she understand it? I guarantee you she didn't. But she trusted. How do we know she trusted? Because of the last thing she says to the angel. In verse 38, she says, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, may it be to me according to your word. So Mary believed the promises of God. She knew she didn't understand what the angel was telling. She knew she wasn't worthy to accomplish the task that the angel said she was going to accomplish. And yet she knew that if God had made a promise to her, God would work it out and God would make it happen. And so we find peace at Christmas and unwrapping the true meaning of Christmas and remembering God's promises. And remembering that part of God's promise is that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And the promise that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Does it feel sometimes like in your life that God has forgotten you? Or he has at least left the building for a few minutes? I think all of us have times when we feel that way. And yet Scripture reminds us over and over and over again, even when it seems like he's left, he's still there with us. That he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That when God says, I'm working for your good, he said to Jeremiah, I have plans to prosper you and to bless you. He said, I know the days that I have marked out for you. And so we need to be reminded of the strength that comes from and peace that comes from God's promises. That even when we don't understand, and even when things don't necessarily go our way, we know that God has promised he's going to be with us, and he's going to make a way. So we wait, and we watch to see how God is going to work, because he always does, just like he did in Mary's story. And that brings me to the last point that I want to make this morning, is that not only is peace found in God's presence, and not only is peace strengthened in God's promises, but peace is seen in the people of God's practices. So Mary didn't just say, oh, that's a nice idea, go away. No, Mary believed the angel, and she surrendered. She said, may it be just like you've said. She said, I'll do my part. I'll do, you know, if God wants to use me, then. And what did she do? If you read the rest of this chapter, which is a long chapter, see, she went and the angel told her about a relative who had also become pregnant, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. And we find in Luke chapter 1, later on in the story, Mary went after the angel left and saw her relative. And then if you read the rest of this chapter, I encourage you, if you haven't done it already this week, go ahead and read it. Read the rest of this chapter today. She goes, and when they enter the room, when Mary enters Elizabeth and Zechariah's home, it says that the babies inside the mother's wombs leapt together out of joy because of the promises of God. And then Mary did something quite peculiar, something I think probably most pregnant ladies don't do a whole lot of, and that's that she praised the Lord. She was in pain, she was uncomfortable, and yet she said, I believe you, and I'm going to let you work in me and work through me. And so we see in verse 73 of Luke chapter 1, it says, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the land of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And then she says this about Jesus. She said, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord and prepares ways to give knowledge to the salvation of his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give us the light to those who sit in darkness and into the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so Mary reminds us, what did she do? She had faith. She put feet to those promises of God, and she praised God. Even when she didn't understand, even when it was inconvenient, even when she was hurting, even when she didn't feel like doing it, she did it anyway. And I tell you that it's often those times when we really find the peace of God working in our life, when even when we don't feel like praying, and even when we don't feel like reading our Bible, or maybe we don't feel like going to church, or we don't feel like doing something the Lord has asked us to do, but we do it anyway, without fail, what happens when we do that? Don't we find the greatest blessings? And don't we learn so much when we do that? Mary surely did. And we see that throughout the glimpses that we have of Mary through the Gospels. So peace is seen in the people of God's practices. That even though Mary didn't always understand what God's direction was, she always obeyed. She always said, hey, here I am, the handmaiden of the Lord. So peace, when we have that peace of God, it affects our life. It affects what we do, and it is affected by our practices. And when people see us going through difficult times, and yet they see us talk of the goodness of God, and they see us praying, and they see us getting up and going to church and worshiping together with our church family, and you know, maybe even singing praises there in our home, and they see us continuing to walk the faith, even though, you know, it would seem reasonable for us to abandon that faith because it's not going our way, it seems. One of the Psalms says, you know, it's often darkest before daylight. Reminding us that when things are dark, it may seem dark, but God's still there. And God is aware of what's going on. He is aware of where you're at. And he's going to come through. And so you continue to do what you know to do. What God has given you to do, do it. Even when you don't understand, even when it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, do it anyway. And when you do, you'll find, listen, you've got the peace of God in your heart. And when you've got that peace of God and you're continuing to do those things that God's asked you to do, that sends a mighty loud message to those around you. That is a mighty big testimony. And people, though they may not admit it, they're watching you. And they're taking note of how you react and how you continue to serve God and how you're faithful to Him, even when it seems that circumstances are not quite going your way. So as we unwrap the meaning and the message of Christmas, it's this, that peace is found in God. In God's presence. In God's promises. And in the people of God's practices. Let's pray again. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for the great gift of Christmas. And that great gift of Christmas is your son Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Lord, the message that you've sent for us this morning is that Christmas is not about gifts and stuff and parties and lights. Christmas is about peace with God. And peace comes only through your Savior, the Savior of the world, the Prince of Peace, your Son, Jesus. So, Lord, even when it's difficult for us, even when we don't understand, may we say like Mary, behold the servant of the Lord. May our desire to be to do what you've given us to do. Help us, we pray, to be your hands and feet. And Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, they've never received the great gift, would you help them today to acknowledge their sin and to believe that you paid the price for them to receive that great gift and confess you as Lord of their life. Lord, maybe there's one of your children here today, Lord, and you've spoken to them maybe a different message, but help us to leave this place having heard from you. Help us to take the message you've given to us and live it out this week. I ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friend, let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of response. And we invite you, if there's a decision you need to make, what a great day and a great time now while the Lord's speaking to you to do business with the Lord. So maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe just while you're standing where you are, you need to make a commitment to the Lord.